Welcome to opening day edition of It's Good with Gary. Thanks for joining us once again. It's opening day in Major League Baseball, and there are very few days year-round that are as exciting as today. Or that should be as exciting as today, or that today should be as exciting as. Either way, we'll spend plenty of time talking about baseball and about the things going on around Major League Baseball. Before we get to predictions, opening day, excitement, etc., let's talk a little bit about the Final Four as the NCAA tournament is finally wrapping up. UConn versus Kentucky and VCU versus Butler. At this point, you know, it's the first time in NCAA history that neither a 1 or 2 seed has made it to the Final Four. That's anybody's guess as to who's going to win these games and who's going to win between the four of them to become the champion. I like UConn over Kentucky based off Kimba Walker's abilities, the way he's played, and the team in general has shown their ability to overcome some, to play good down the stretch and when they need to. They're hot. There's not a team that's hotter than them. And I like Butler over VCU. They've been there. They've seen it before. They made it to the championship last year. VCU's already had to win 5 games just to get this far. They had the play-in game. Tough to say. I'll take Butler and UConn in the championship. At this point, you can go either way with it. If you want to go with the Cinderella story, pick Butler. If you want to go with the mainstream, everybody else, we like having a big-name program in the final. Winning the finals, take UConn. I mean, doesn't really matter. Tough to say who's going to win. We'll just see how it plays out. For argument's sake, give me UConn. I'll take the team with the best player on the floor, personally. Moving basketball-wise, but from the collegiate ranks to National Basketball Association, the NBA, we're coming down the home stretch. Teams are pretty much locked into their place. And, you know, I got to tell you, I'm tired about hearing how great the Chicago Bulls are. Don't get me wrong. They're a good team. Yes, they have the best record in the East. Are they the best team in the East? Maybe so. But the team is young. They're inexperienced as a whole. They've got a brand new coach. Derrick Rose has played great. Is he played MVP level? Sure. Is he the MVP? Well, the media certainly written him off as such. Later this week, I'll debate with another member of the It's Good with Gary team about who should be the MVP. We'll look forward to having Chris Piasek join us on the blog and on the podcast eventually. But my point is that the Bulls peaked too early. They were very hot a few weeks ago. Have they cooled off? The time to be hot is right now, this week heading into the playoffs. The Spurs have cooled off. They've been hot all year, and the Lakers are picking up steam just like they've done the past few years. I've been thinking the Spurs were the team to beat in the West all this time, but the Lakers are the hot team now. How could you go against Los Angeles when it's like this? Similarly in the East, Boston's been cooling off. Chicago's been cooling off, more or less. Miami's been picking up some steam. There's no real clear favorite, but there's a lot of good competition. We'll see how it plays out. I'm not so quick to pencil in Chicago all the way to the finals the way that most people have. Like I said, I think they're young and an inexperienced bunch that they can probably win in the first round, but as they get farther down the line and they play tougher competition, I wonder how that will play out as a whole, having not been there before. They're a good defensive team, and I think that sets them up for success, but we'll just have to see how it all plays out. Looking across the football real quick before we get to baseball. Have you seen what's going on with the Fiesta Bowl? After some investigation, some people that were in charge of the Fiesta Bowl have been asked to, they've been fired, they've been let go. Not really sure what these people were thinking. Apparently the people running the Fiesta Bowl have just been taking care of some of their own personal expenses on the Fiesta Bowl's dime. Now here's the problem. A team like UConn, they tell you have 15,000 tickets to sell. Anything you can't sell, your school covers. They lose $2 million just to play in a BCS game that for all intents and purposes meant nothing to them. That meant nothing. They didn't have a chance to win. They weren't going to have a chance to win. Cool that you went to a BCS game, but unless you're making a statement with it, which they weren't, no good comes from it. They lost their coach. UConn gets hammered from the Fiesta Bowl because they had to pay all this money. Meanwhile, the Fiesta Bowl people paid $13,000 for a wedding, like $30,000 for this all-expenses-paid cruise. They ran up a $1,400 strip club tab. I don't know what they think was going on, and apparently they're not the only ones. There's investigations going on elsewhere. Now I can just imagine at the Sugar Bowl, at the Orange Bowl, just mad chaos. Hard drives being deleted, papers being shredded, because they're coming there next, and they're gonna look at what's going on. I've been skeptical that anything would ever replace the BCS, but if there's an outcry for mismanaged money, teams that are getting treated improperly, like Connecticut has reasonable gripes over this whole situation, then maybe there will be something that comes up. In a few years, when the BCS contract expires, don't be shocked if the Fiesta Bowl loses their BCS title eligibility. Now, will they just become something else? That'd be my guess. They won't. You want to have a game in Glendale. It's a good place to be. It's warm. It's indoors. Not a bad place for a bowl game. But with all this, just don't see it playing out well in Glendale for the Fiesta Bowl in the future. You think maybe Tostitos can get some of their money back from the Fiesta Bowl people for casting a bad light in their name, too? I can just figure you can hear the paper shredders running all the way in New Orleans, all the way up here in Mississippi, just shredding whatever bad evidence there might be out there. It's kind of a mess in college football. A lot of stuff coming out about these money shakes. We'll have more information on that later. Auburn catching a lot of fire. But with that, let's move on and let's talk about Major League Baseball, considering it is opening day. Now, for 100% of the teams out there in Major League Baseball, everybody feels like they have a shot to win the World Series this year. Well, maybe not 100% of teams. I'm pretty sure the Pirates don't feel like they can. The Royals probably don't feel like they can. But maybe the Blue Jays don't feel like they can. But everybody else, so 90% of the teams in baseball, feel like they have a chance to win the World Series. Opening day is one of the greatest days in America. Just like that commercial from last week we talked about says, it's more presidential than President's Day. Why hasn't Major League Baseball done anything about it? You know, if there's 30 teams, shouldn't they all be playing today? Every single one of them? Why is there only 6 games? Why are less than half the teams playing? You know what's bigger news a bigger story in the news right now than opening day that's baseball related? Is Barry Bonds' steroid trial. I would think that Major League Baseball would be trying to do everything they can to have that not be a story. Put every team that they can playing right now. And you know what else I'm tired of hearing about is all the weather. Well, they're playing in New York and it could snow. If you were really worried about the snow, you wouldn't let the season go on as long as it does. You wouldn't have a team in Colorado. You'd pack in the games the best way that you can. So while opening day is great as it is, there are some frustrations with it as well. You know what's missing in baseball is a doubleheader. If every team had a half a dozen doubleheaders over the course of the season, maybe a dozen doubleheaders, you'd chop off a half a month. Have Sunday doubleheaders, Saturday doubleheaders. Not like it's really that big a deal. You know, it is that big a deal for the teams because they want the ticket sales. But I'm sure you could charge a little more, find ways around it. But that's a facet of the baseball game that's disappeared that shouldn't. There's no reason that you can't have a doubleheader. And it's sad to see it go. Let's talk about what's going on this year in Major League Baseball. I'll get over my opening day problems. There's talk about, let's move it out west. Let's move it to the south. No, let everybody rotate. Let everybody have a turn with opening day. There's no reason that the Yankees fans can't. And I will very rarely back up Yankees fans. But there's no reason they can't have opening day this year, and that next year it can be at Boston, and next year after that it can be at in Toronto, wherever. Who cares? Let every team have a turn. Every other year, your team should have opening day, but every team should play on opening day. Just how it should be. And only one team should play at night. Have them all play in the daytime. That's the way baseball is meant to be played. Outdoors, on the grass, during the day. So we pulled some of the team members. We got some of their predictions for the season. I'm going to go ahead and give you what some of our team thinks will happen this year. I'll give you some of my extra thoughts and some things to look for. And the National League East, Chris and Doug both took the Phillies. I took Atlanta. I think the Phillies are a good team. Their pitching rotation out of this world. Injury questions and age questions are what I'm concerned about. You've got age in the outfield. You've got age and injury in the infield. Utley's going to be gone for a few months. Brad Lidge could be gone for a couple months. I'll take the young Braves, who have shown promise. First year without Bobby Cox, I'll take Atlanta. They took the Phillies. And the Central gets a little mixed up here. Doug takes the Cubs. Chris takes the Reds. I'll take the Brewers. I was debating right up to the time I picked whether or not it should be the Reds or the Brewers. The Reds are the best young team in baseball. The Brewers went out and signed some. They've got some more veteran players, but they've got good young talent in Prince Fielder and Ryan Braun, who I think are probably the best 3-4 hitters in baseball. I know you can make a case for A-Rod and Teixeira, for Holiday and Pujols, and for others around the league. But for all intents and purposes, Braun and Fielder are about as good as it's going to get in the 3-4 spot. In the West, we've got the Pirates. They don't have a chance in the Central. The West, Doug took the Rockies. Chris took the Dodgers, and I'll take the Rockies. I think the Rockies have a good chance based off they've been great down the stretch in the past few years. I think if they can get off to a good start, they'll set themselves up where they can put it away and maintain that division. I think the Giants are good. I think they've got good young talent. They've got a great pitching staff. Just not sure that I think that they're going to have the target on their back being the winner last year. Padres, losing Adrian Gonzalez, too much of a hit. I just don't feel like they have what it takes. And as far as the Diamondbacks go, just not sure that they have what it takes either. Wild card, I'll take the Phillies. The pitching staff will make sure they get to the playoffs. Doug says the Atlanta Braves. Chris takes the Brewers, probably for the same reasons as me, but he's the only one without the Braves making the playoffs. Moving on to the American League. I'll take the Red Sox. I know they got a lot of hype to live up to. They got a lot of good talent. But give me the Red Sox. Doug takes the Yankees. And Chris takes the Red Sox. You go to the Central. Doug takes the Tigers. Chris takes the Twins, and I'll take the Twins. I feel like you can't go against Rod Gardenhire. Good team. Mauer's playing good. I think it's contingent upon Morneau returning from injury and being able to play as well. But they've got the talent. I even heard somebody interviewed say that he's taking Francisco Liriano to win the Cy Young. I wouldn't go that far. We'll see. In the West, Doug takes the Angels. Chris will take the Rangers. I'll take the Oakland A's. They've got an experienced pitching staff. We'll see if the hitting can come behind. I like Oakland. We'll see how it goes. Wild card, Doug takes the Twins, so we all have the Twins going. Chris takes the Yankees, and I will take the Yankees. So we all have the Yankees going. Doug is the only person without the Red Sox going to the playoffs. Maybe we can try and catch up with him next week and get his thoughts on that. World Series matchups. Doug's got Tigers-Phillies, and he's got the Tigers winning over the Phillies. Chris has the Red Sox and the Phillies over the Red Sox, and I've got the Phillies and the Twins. When you get to the postseason and you can just go with a three-man rotation, there's no way you can compete with what the Phillies have. They've got a great rotation. But like I said, I think Ron Gardenhire, I just think the Twins, they're due. I like what they've done. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen then this year. looking around at some other things to watch for. NL MVP, Doug's got Troy Tulowitzki. Chris has Albert Pujols. Both of those are solid people. I was thinking Braun, but I'm going to go Hanley Ramirez because a team to watch for is the Florida Marlins. If the Florida Marlins can make it, if the Marlins can get to the playoffs, the only reason they're going to get there is because of great pitching from Josh Johnson and great offensive production, defensive production, and leadership from Hanley Ramirez. If he can produce, look for them to be a surprise team that's got a shot to win the wild card, maybe even the East. They will be the team that hurts people in the long run. As far as Cy Young goes, looking at Cliff Lee, Tim Lincecum for Doug and Chris. You know, I don't know how you can go against Roy Halladay. I also feel like Josh Johnson's a great pitcher, but I'll take Halladay. AL MVP, Doug's going Miguel Cabrera. He's all over the Tigers here. I don't know why. I guess he thinks that Jim Leland and the Tigers, it's finally their year. Like I said, we'll have to talk with him and get his thoughts on why the Tigers are going to be so dominant. Let's see. Chris is going with Mark Teixeira. Here's the key for Teixeira. Teixeira could very likely be the AL MVP. He always plays great after the All-Star break, but he has to get off to a fast start. If he can hit at least 270, he very well could be the MVP. But if he's in the right around the 200 range, like he usually starts off, don't think so. I'm going to go Joe Mauer. What that guy does is unbelievable. He's going to be the next player that hits for 400 in a season. He's not going to get you 30 home runs, but he's going to consistently hit for contact and for power. Just a great all-around player. Like the way he plays the game. As far as the American League Cy Young, Jared Weaver for Doug, David Price for Chris. Give me Felix Hernandez, who finishes the year with the New York Yankees. I don't think that the Yankees are going to pass up on that opportunity to nab him with a lot of young talent. You look at a team like the Yankees that all of us have making the playoffs. They've got a great 1-2 in CC Sabathia, Phil Hughes, we think, but nobody knows what they're. And even three with A.J. Burnett. But nobody knows who their 4-5 is. Bartolo Colon, really. They'll have to bring in somebody. Look for Felix Hernandez to get traded. They're going to trade away the house. They're going to put it all on this year if they do. And if that's the case, they're going to pay the price in the long run. But there's nothing more important to the Yankees than winning and winning right now. I'm sure there are some people who are going to disagree with me, and I would love to hear what they think. But every time I can, as long as I can remember, the Yankees have always cared about winning and winning now. The Red Sox have stacked up. I think this will be the year that you'll see the Twins play the Yankees in the postseason, and the Twins are going to win. I know that's been their downfall, but like I said, the last couple of years, they've been building a base of experience. They've got some more veteran guys, but they're still young in some places they need to be. I just feel like this is the year for the Twins, and we'll see what happens. As far as the other predictions go, we'll get more to you on that. We'll talk about some other things, teams to watch for. I think in the East you've got the three teams, the Braves, Phillies, and Marlins, who could contend for the division or the wild card. In the Central, you've got the Cardinals, the Reds, and the Brewers. Cubs, potentially. Depends on what Quadi can do, if he can get those veteran players to produce the way that they should be able to do. You look out to the West, you got the Giants, you've got the Dodgers and the Rockies. All three of those teams should be able to contend. The question is, when you look at the American League, you've got the Yankees and Red Sox. And I think the Orioles are the third team in the East this year. I don't see the Rays being the number three team. I think they're just going to have a rebuilding year or two, and then they'll be back at it again. But I think the Orioles are going to be, similar to the Marlins, a team that's going to surprise people, be a contender for the wild card, and be the team that upsets others in the long run, that knocks people off their division leads. In the Central, the White Sox are a popular pick, and so are the Tigers, but I still like the Twins. All three of those teams can compete. But in the West, I don't think the Mariners are going to be the team to beat. The Rangers, they can score a lot of runs, but look, they lost their best pitcher. They've got two younger guys. I just don't think that they're going to have the experience that they need. They can score a lot of runs. They got a lot of great athletes, but they didn't treat Michael Young well, and I think they're going to end up losing him before the season's over. They're going to trade him away. I'm not convinced that the Rangers are going to be able to do it again this year like they did last year. I think that, not that Cliff Lee was the only answer, but he was what they needed to get them to where they got. So I think that leaves the Angels and the A's to be the teams to beat there. But we'll see as it all plays out. That's a lot of predictions and a lot of baseball talk for just a short amount of time. You can't really do it all justice. You can't do it all in one sitting. We're going to try and bring in some other people, get some other opinions, get some other thoughts later on after opening day beginning of next week. So be sure to stay tuned for that. Thank you for joining us. Hope you enjoy opening day and the opening weekend of baseball, the final four of the NCAA tournament, and as we get ready for the home stretch in the NBA heading into the playoffs. We'd love to hear from you. Hit us up on Facebook or Twitter at It's Good With Gary. Be sure and download us on iTunes. Thanks for listening. Have a good one.